Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Joni Connell, your host for Real Life Lessons. Our topic today is the real story of a fashion entrepreneur. And our leading lady today is Sarah Perkins with Designer Share. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Joni. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to get the show going because we're going to have some really fun stuff to talk about. I want to cue our listeners in for a second because I want to tell you what Sarah really does with what is Designer Share. As I understand it, Sarah, you will explain more, but it's a peer-to-peer marketplace for women so they can rent their designer clothing and accessories to one another. And that is such a radical idea. Sarah, tell us what it means to rent your clothes out. What is this all about?
Well, thank you so much. I have to say, too, your introduction is so inspirational. I really appreciate it, especially on a Monday morning, just to get up and get going. But we decided to start Designer Share based on the problem that so many women have, and that is we wake up, we have a closet full of clothes, but, of course, nothing to wear. We feel this pressure that we can't go out being wearing the same thing over and over again, and that affects our confidence so that when we do step into a big meeting or a job interview or even just a really special night out with friends or your significant other, you do want to feel at your absolute best and absolutely own the room. And for men, this is so much easier. They put on the same suit over and over again, and they've got it. But for us, we have so much scrutiny placed on our appearances that we said, what is there a way to bring quality pieces into women's lives on a really regular basis so that they can feel like a boss every single time she walks out the door? And that's where Designer Share comes in. You're able to rent these amazing designer pieces from contemporary labels all the way through true luxury pieces at a fraction of the cost for a weekly rental. And so you're renting them from another woman. So the other half of this is that if you do have pieces that are sitting in your closet, like we all do, that are collecting dust, you can actually be an entrepreneur from home.
Wow. You know, I was thinking dresses, you know, designer dresses, but you're actually bringing this into the workplace with suits and things like that too?
Yes, we've got amazing separates. We've got a couple of Chanel and Dolce & Gabbana blazers on our site right now. We have the most incredible handbags. I know that I've seen pieces go out from just a simple Kate Spade bag that someone wore to an interview that just helped pull her outfit together better, to if you really truly wanted it, we do have a Birkin on our site to feel like the absolute, you know, holy grail fashion piece you could have from us. And that's owned by a woman here in Chicago.
Yeah, I love the way you bring this into building your confidence up too. I mean, it's not just about, you know, having something snazzy and fun to wear. It's really about walking in and owning the room with this high power accessories and clothing. Wow. You know, I mean, I'm curious to hear more about that, Sarah. I mean, how is this so much more important for women than men? I mean, do you have insights into this being in the business and all?
I think it really does come down to how much of what society and especially media has placed upon women. It's always us getting pitted against one another of who wore it better, or that, you know, again, that men do have just these very simple options, but yet he looks put together all the time, whereas we feel like we have to do so much more. And that's where even the lack of pockets comes into play. All of a sudden we're buying handbags more. So women truly do run the shopping economy, and it's all about us buying these pieces. And where we come in is that we said, okay, fast fashion is growing incredibly quickly, but those pieces fall apart within maybe a few washes or they get stretched out. And on top of that, they're actually the second largest pollutant in the world after oil. So all of these things end up in the landfill. You really look that great because they're not truly made from quality materials. And so we said, it's all about feeling really confident from the inside out. As much as our parents told us not to judge a book by its cover growing up, there is something about first impressions and really feeling that when you do feel that you look your best, you are holding yourself a little bit taller and that you can take on your goals easier.
Yeah, oh, that makes sense. And it's better for the world. It's better for women and just reusing and helping each other out by spending a little bit of money without too much money. I mean, wow, what a great idea.
Yeah.
So I want to
thank
this,
you.
I want to take this as a business side. I want to find out more about being an entrepreneur because this is a radical idea. It's new, somewhat new business. So, you know, how did you come about deciding to become an entrepreneur? I mean, I want to find out where you were and what got you to the point where you felt empowered to be able to start a business along this line.
Yeah. I think in some ways I grew up with this idea that I would want to rise to a high level one day in a company. I didn't know if it was going to be my own or someone else's. And I truly loved fashion and also writing growing up. So I decided to go into lifestyle journalism when I was in college and ended up getting my marketing degree from Santa Clara and then went to DePaul to get my journalism master's. So I was writing and editing for different lifestyle magazines in Chicago when I was actually approached by my family friend, Bill, who is my co-founder. And together we worked on this idea that the sharing economy is missing something, and that is clothing. And specifically this idea that women are going to want to do it because we naturally bond with each other over sharing pieces already. It was something I was doing with my girlfriends all the time in college without monetizing the process. So we decided to put this model together about 2 years ago and then launched our site almost 1 year ago now. So at the end of March of last year is when we launched Designer Share. And I think what made me really push myself to that jump is when I realized that I cared so much more about what started off as this project that I was working on once or twice a week that it's all I wanted to do. I have so much passion for the idea, for the problem, for the product that we've now made that I was going into my day job and thinking, I'm not getting as much happiness from this as I am doing something that, you know, it's not earning me any money, but is really bringing me so much joy. And this fact that there could be a true mission out of this that is helping people. And so it took a few months over the other summer, but I finally made the jump one day when I was at a crossroads of being even given a promotion. And I said, no, I'm going to leave instead. And then I went and slept for about 3 days because I was so freaked out with the decision I had made. And I think it had just been, I've been in fight or flight mode. What, am I going to stay? Do I turn this into, I work at all hours of the day where I'm doing a day job and then this at night? Or is it that we think this could really be something, so we're going to give up everything else to do it? And I haven't looked back since, and I am very, very happy still every day to be doing it.
Wow, congratulations. I mean, that is a big risk. As you said, I mean, a big risk and a lot of ups and downs as an entrepreneur. I imagine you must have had a lot of ups and downs. I mean, I don't know anyone who doesn't say that. So, you know, you said that you went and slept 3 days even after making the decision. So how do you keep, you know, resilient and strong to get through the life of an entrepreneur, especially the first year?
I really think it comes down to persistence. If you really believe in your idea that much and if you live it and breathe it, then you keep going. I think they always say, you know, 80 to 90% of startups fail. And I really wonder if it is, you know, beyond just cash flow can be so incredibly hard, but it's also about whether you're just going to give up. And for me, if I have to get creative about cutting back on something or doing something a little bit more guerrilla to get people's attention so that we can get more sales, if we are in a bit of a tight spot in terms of our fundraising like we are right now, I don't go to plan B and then just say, I'm done. this didn't work out. Oh, well, we're shutting down. I'm at plan Z. I'm probably at plan like AA at that point, like going back through the alphabet, because it just means so much to me. And I don't want that to come off as, oh, it's because I don't want to have a failure. But for me, I'm like, no, there's got to be some way that this can work. If I believe in it this much, then I'm going to make it happen. And maybe it is a couple different iterations. We kind of have to see as it goes on. We've already learned so much, and I feel like even every single month is so different.
Right. And that sounds like a key lesson there as well, is learning from the changes, the mistakes, the new things that happen, and being open to doing that and making change. Wow, double A. I love that. I'm going to remember that. I'm at plan double A. Yes. That's
Keep
what
going.
It takes. So many people, they do.
A,
they
like,
just give up. Triple A.
We might be at triple A. Are we allowed to trademark that now with the car?
Yeah, I know. That's great. Yeah. You're going to get these. Yeah. Well, one thing I want to ask you about, because you had even said I could, if you indulge me here, because you have a coach. In fact, your coach is somebody who was a previous guest on my show, I am happy to say. I was wondering, you know, how does that help you be a better entrepreneur?
Oh, I think, I mean, Aaron has been so incredible. So he reached out to me after we had met at an event that I got up and pitched at. I think I was in a room of about 50 men, and it was at the end of kind of a fireside chat with one of the founders of Hyde Park Angels. And they said, who wants to pitch their business? And I love pitching us and having that opportunity to get up and even take 2 or 3 minutes to tell a crowd of people about us. And I was the only one who raised my hand. And then, you know, they kind of called that out. And then there, you know, a few people joined me after. But, you know, we kind of realized that, you know, I had met Aaron. He reached out and said, I loved that you had the courage to do that. And then he was able to help hone my skills, my values, even more so. And it really has made me so much more focused, even coming down to someone who does push you a little bit harder to get outside of your comfort zone, to push for higher goals, to have really tough conversations, and to make me realize that owning myself and who I am as a person is my best resource. It's the way that we do push forward. So giving up, or you can't really have a bad day. You have to go back to your values, your vision, and your mission that you have, and how you are going to be serving others. And that's the biggest help that he's been able to provide me, is just giving me those tools to help push myself forward and then be able to help other people.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point you say there about going back to your values. One of my favorite books is True North, and it's all about figuring out what your values are and sticking with those, because if you don't know, then you don't know, for example, if you're prioritizing what you need to be getting done. And you know, that's something that you were talking about earlier, is, you know, how do you know what to do, or how do you go to, you know, plan AA, AAA versus give up? And if you have that as your value there and stick to it, then you know that value is persistence, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
What other kind
of
values
of
do you go by? Yeah. What do you do like in your business? What are your values there?
So ones that I bring, you know, ones that our team holds are very much flexibility, kindness. So we truly want to provide both sides of our marketplace with the best customer service they'll ever receive. So these women are putting out very expensive pieces. They want to make sure that we feel that they can trust us, that they're safe with us, that things are going to turn out all right. And that's with the partners we use for dry cleaning, our insurance policy, just keeping them updated about where is, you know, for example, like your Louis Vuitton handbag right now, keeping them abreast on that. And then when it comes to our renters, really making them feel special that we're beyond just this marketplace they go on to rent, but we do love to do a lot of personal outreach and ask different types of life occasions that people have coming up. We've had people reach out to us and say, do you have something like this in my size for this price range? And even though she could probably go on the site herself and find those filters, we're happy to go through and put together an outfit for her that she's going to feel really amazing about. And then again, if it doesn't work out, providing that refund for her or the next option that she can find so that she really does get that feeling of confidence from us. So those are some of our really core team values, is all about really serving other people, being very knowledgeable about our field, not only about fashion trends, but about fashion business itself. So we read a lot of Business of Fashion and other sites like Who, What, Where, and the Zoe Report, so that we understand even the trends that are happening in retail across the board. Some of my personal values that Erin was able to help me put together include persistence, being strong, being empathetic, really kind to others. And I've realized that being a CEO is, in many ways, I still haven't experienced motherhood myself, but it is kind of like you're taking care of so many people that it is kind of like your little family, and you have to look out for everyone. And it does make me happy that I am helping people feel like they can grow.
That's so funny you talk about this, the having the family. I've heard so many people talk about their businesses, like giving birth and having, it's their baby. So you're not alone in that feeling. People talk about that all the time. I mean, it's your life for a period of time, at least while you're getting it started and all. So, you know, I want to check in just to make sure before we get too far here, Sarah, just in case our listeners may want to reach you after our show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Well, they can reach out to me personally at sarah@designershare.com, and I'm Sarah with an H at the end, or they can head to designershare.com to check out the site and sign up. It's completely free with just an email and password, and then we'd love to have them follow us on social media, too. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram, @designershare. Twitter is @designershare_, until I can convince Twitter to give me just @designershare. And really just follow us along there and reach out. I'm happy to answer any sort of emails that do come in. And if they do, start following us on Instagram and use our service. We are so happy to promote other people's photos of them wearing how they wear Designer Share.
Okay. Well, look, don't worry. If you didn't catch all of Sarah's contact details, we'll have her information listed in our show notes. Do sign up. That would be fun, and get those pictures going on Instagram, seeing what it's all about. Well, okay,
we're all about a community.
For a second here. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's, you know, wow. Okay, I want to know a little bit about the challenges of fundraising. You've brought that up a couple times, and, you know, fundraising, it comes up a lot, especially for women being in a male-dominated industry. So can you tell us more, like you said, you were in a room of 50 men, for example, like what is it like to do fundraising as a female entrepreneur?
I think it's been a really interesting process. I'm finding that some of our biggest supporters and those who have come on to become investors are women themselves, or I'd say men who very much consider themselves feminists. They've at least dropped hints by saying, I'm so proud to support a young woman in business, and I want to continue trends like this. So we are so incredibly grateful to our current investors and those who are helping support us by helping find that right match. But I think it really is this huge matchmaking process. I'd say the biggest differences I hear is that some people have said a young man your age can walk into a room with an idea and get funded, and you have to sell them with the numbers and the growth that we've had. So it could be coming down to where we are trying to fundraise in the Midwest. It could be down to the makeup of the investors that are here. And then I think it truly is our business as well. Marketplaces are notoriously tough to build because you are focusing on two sides to really create a lot of growth. But on top of that, we're fashion. So being in the Midwest, it might not connect as well to the makeup here. I think fintech is really popular here. A few other businesses that are very data driven versus about a certain type of trend. So we are having, I think, what a lot of people experience, which is our first round has been far more difficult than I thought it would be. So we are looking into trying some new methods with that, which I hope I can reveal over the next month or so. and really just, again, focusing on finding those people that are the one. It's kind of like dating. You're really having to kiss a lot of frogs before you find the right people that aren't just willing to, you know, and not literally, of course, because that is also an issue that I so don't want to go into, of, if people would be trying to expect certain things. The world is beautiful. I think this is a great morning to talk about, you know, just girl power, seeing what happened at the Oscars last night and everyone continuing this push forward of the Me Too movement. But it is not only about finding someone with money, but someone who is going to really care about you, your team, your concept enough that they will continue to make introductions or be on your advisory board, that they can be giving suggestions, coming up with ideas that are going to push you forward. So in the end, you have to have smart money over just a lot of money, I think.
Oh, that is a great tip. Smart money is better than more money or a lot of money. You said.
Almost,
yeah.
I'd say like we sit here and we're like, yeah, we'd love $1 million to come out of nowhere. But if it's connected to someone who, again, doesn't share our values or just looks at us as you're just kind of one of my many I'm testing out right now, and I'm not really going to focus on you pushing you forward. If you fail, then you're just another one in my portfolio that's failed versus my unicorn that I want to happen. We do want that very much quality relationship. And that's something that I've really enjoyed as CEO is focusing on our relationships, not only with corporate marketing partnerships that we're setting up, but also with finding those right investors for us and then our team members too.
Right. You know, I'm curious. One of the things that keeps coming up, I think about this in both the fashion industry and just in terms of building these relationships and getting out there and talking to people. You know, as a woman in this male-dominated world here, you know, how do you feel about your ability to stay authentic and true to yourself when you're out there? Or do you feel like you have to sort of put on a show to be something that people want you to be? So how do you find yourself in that quandary?
Mm-hmm. I think when you are dealing with fashion, you are already dealing with what's considered a shallow industry that we're really trying to twist very far and say that all women should have access to quality pieces of different sizes, different backgrounds. You know, she should feel this amazing and have access to something that's not going to fall apart on her immediately. And so just even from a fashion industry perspective, we are trying to say, hey, you know, it's for me, it's for you, it's for all of us. It reflects not only, you know, what we want to be wearing, but who we really are. We very much see it as a form of self-expression and culture. So that's from that perspective. From the fundraising perspective, from the tech startup perspective, at first it was kind of something that I did really notice. I was thinking, oh my gosh, we're out of this incubator that's, you know, now considered the top in the world. We were out of 1871 for some time, and there were just such a really wonderful group of women there. But I would notice I was walking around, and it would almost be like I was this alien creature. You know, if I'm wearing heeled booties or kind of having fun with my look, it's not like I was dressing up for anyone else, but it would be considered kind of strange in this sea of kind of hoodies and jeans. But we have to stay on brand. We're this combination of fashion and tech. So there are some Fridays that I love wearing, you know, our t-shirts and a backwards baseball cap and just keeping it really casual. And that's my way of kind of like, oh, I feel very, you know, tech bro in a sense. And we kind of joke about it. But the rest of the time, we really have fun being feminine and owning the strength that comes from that. I think there have been a few times I have been the only woman in the room. And that's when I felt just really shocked. But I think going back to the idea of staying authentic, it's about really tapping in and realizing, why am I here? It's not about selling what I look like necessarily, like who I am, because I'm a woman and I'm anatomically different than he is or the other guy is. It's about the fact that I'm coming into the room because we have a $1 billion business idea the sharing economy over the next few years is going to be growing to about $300 billion. And there was a study that said about 1% of that is going to be with peer-to-peer clothing rentals. So that is about a $1.7 billion industry that we're trying to tackle. And I think it is just interesting trying to present a problem that we are seeing from a female perspective, and the men need to, and the other women in the room need to wrap around the fact that we're not here just to play with clothes. We're here to make a really strong business model that's going to make them have like an 80X return. So I hope that there is a way that we can focus more on things like numbers and the return that's going to happen and the impact that could really happen versus I'm a woman and you're a man and we don't share the same problems, but we're all here for one thing and we are a for-profit business as much as we do love helping charities on top of everything and really giving women this feeling of empowerment. We are here to make money. So I hope that they can kind of push, if I can push past it with them, I hope they can with me too.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. And just really focusing on why is it that you're here and that you are there to make profits as opposed to trying to put on some kind of show for people or be what they think it's all about. Yeah. We're going to get to the end of our show soon, so I want to ask you one last question, and that is, you know, we have a lot of listeners who are thinking about becoming entrepreneurs, who are just starting out and, you know, may not be in that phase yet where they've actually quit their day job. And what do you have for perhaps like inspiration or tips, you know, to get you over that hump to say, yeah, you can do it, you know, that to feel empowered to actually make it?
Yeah, I think it's really having the passion for your idea. And that will really push you forward, and you'll realize that passion means more than anything. It is important to feel that you are secure in a sense that maybe you've put some money aside or that you can keep a small kind of side hustle, or you can be working with friends and family to put together a small fund before you really get going. And then creating really smart partnerships with people. Get out there and network, and you'll find that so many people want to help you and help push your idea forward. And whether that's with work for you or introductions to other people that can help you out, I think that many women will find that the community is super strong. We're all about lifting each other up, at least here in Chicago, and I hope that translates elsewhere too. But I think it is about really just empowering each other to say, you really can do this. So make the jump. The jump is terrifying. Again, you'll probably be very, like, very scared like I was, but I think it is really worth it because even at the end of the day, no matter the outcome, you've been successful because you tried something new and you put yourself out there and you learned so much. And those are the types of things that you get to tell stories about later in your life. You get to pass those down to your children or grandchildren and say, I went out there and tried this. So don't ever be afraid to try something new.
Wow. That is my inspiration for the morning here. Aww. For all of our listeners. This is great,
so
too. I mean, yeah, make the jump, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway, as they say, and get out there and just work your passion because one of the regrets that we don't want to have is not ever trying, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do
so
not, could have, should have, would have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What an inspiration you've been, Sarah. That's going to be our show for today, and I'd like to say thank you to Sarah for being our leading lady today.
Oh, thank you, Joni. You're so great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this has been great, and I want to send a special thanks out to all our listeners as well. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. Our next leading gentleman will be John Montgomery with Lex Ultima. Our topic will be Set Up Your Company's Legal Foundation to Do Good. I'm Joni Cannell, host of Real Life Lessons. Thank you for listening, and remember, real women are resilient, empowered, authentic, and limber.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence. the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.